The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Yeah, welcome to the Rush Hour Friday. Follow us on TikTok and Instagram at Rush Hour Triple M is our handle. Jude Bolton, how are you this afternoon, brother?
I'm very good. Just had a bit of a catch up with a few mates just before this show, so I'm ready to roll.
You are coming hot. There's no doubt about it. How are you, Wendell?
Mate, I'm feeling great, mate. My Broncos won last night.
So mate, they're 7-4.
Yes,
they're
mate.
Sitting in the top four before
yes,
the weekend.
Mate. I know, mate. They're going well, mate. I told you.
Are you trying to keep
tickets.
A lid on it or not?
Oh, look, I'm happy with how they're playing. I think when Adam Reynolds was out, I was a bit nervous, but
yeah.
Geez, Selwyn Cobbo, some of these young kids, they're lifting, mate. They're playing some great football. But also, I worry about the Knights on the back end of that game. They just, mate.
Oh. Well, we'll talk about them in a minute. Yeah. Let's go back to one of the highlights from last night.
The Triple M NRL play of the day.
Capel shrugs one off. He goes left side, gets it away to Ezra Mann, who kicks back in field, and now the chase is on.
Oh.
And it's going to be a try to Corey Oates, who jumped on a loose ball in goal. Corey Oates dives on the ball, and that, my friends, will be the ball game.
How good hearing Maroon call that game. Of course, 36-12, the Broncos over the Knights. The Knights look good early. Ponga looked pretty good, and all of a sudden a couple of calls didn't quite go their way, and they looked like they didn't have the answer to answer that back. And in the end, the Broncos got it done easy.
Yeah, they haven't been that resilient this year, Newcastle Knights, but I think what the Broncos showed there, like they can win games without Adam Reynolds. For me, I like the way they're playing, their resilient side at the moment. Their young players are playing good, but also, you know, I think I said it to you before, when you get players who have played between 30 to 50 games, you know, have that experience, they're stepping up. And I just like what they're doing. Corey Oates obviously has found his, you know, there was a few question marks whether they'd move him on now. Like he's scoring tries at will. He's you know, he's not making too many mistakes. And their forwards are laying a platform. But I've got to say, people talked about Adam Reynolds being great by. Mate, Kurt Capewell, he's been outstanding, mate.
What did you think of the bunker? There was obviously obstruction and then also Dane Gagai's.
Yeah, look, mate, we want the bunker to try and make the right decisions. I think the Dane Gagai one they got right. The obstruction one, not too sure. But, you know, it's if we just keep focusing on that, I like that. I like the coach, the Newcastle Knights coach, Adam O'Brien, said he doesn't blame the bunker for those. But they are turning points in a game. You know, I think Newcastle could have went into halftime 12-6 if they get that call. But, like, it is what it is, and you've got to be more resilient as a team. And at the moment, Newcastle aren't that.
What about coaches go, look, I don't want to bring this up as an excuse, and then they talk about it, and then they go, and look, I don't want to talk about injuries as an excuse, but at the end of the day, they absolutely are, but that is actual reality, isn't it?
You lose momentum.
That try to Gagai, or the no try to Gagai, it could have gone either way. Absolutely could have. And you could see Cronk at halftime on Fox going, it's definitely a no try.
Yep.
Then you got McInnes going, it's definitely a try.
You're
saying it's not a try.
I don't think it's a try.
It's 1,000 games between the three of you blokes.
That's right.
And two of you say one thing and one of you say another. It's the same in the AFL.
Yeah.
You'll say something, Jude, and someone on the telly will go against you. So it shows it's not black and white.
That's right. But that's why also I think what he's trying to say, Adam O'Brien too, I know he brings that up on purpose, but what he's trying to say from his team is that I want you guys to be better and be more resilient because, you know, 65-minute mark, they're in that game and then they just wilted like in the last 15.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour. Gus, Jude and Wendell, this is my favourite segment. I get to host it today. It is Two Strong Hearts.
Two strong hearts twisted together like the honey and the bee. You and me.
I love you, John. Johnny F.
We throw out a topic. I give you 3 seconds to answer, but hopefully, guys, you answer the question with the same answer. That's literally how it works.
So think obvious, not random.
Mate, it's Wendell Saylor.
There's a lot of voices in my head, mate, so it's hard, mate. It depends on which personality you get.
Okay. The world record is 3 out of 5. We have had a 0 out of 5.
Yeah. Multiple zeros.
I am backing you blokes to get 0 out of 5.
You've had a look at these.
I've got the question, I know you two, Clint.
Let's do this.
Okay. Ready, Del?
Yeah.
Ready, Jude?
I'm on.
Okay. An Aussie swimmer in 3, 2, 1.
Cody Simpson. Mate, he's just been all over.
I know.
You can't go the bloke that was in the press yesterday.
Yeah, I know, mate.
You've got to go with the with like, what
Kieran
did you
Perkins.
Say? Kieran Perkins.
Okay.
Ian Thorpe I would have taken.
Yeah, sorry, right. I just thought he's been splashed across the news.
Thorpe is more your go.
I thought that was the obvious one. Maybe you just blocked him out of your head because he beat you in Masked Singer.
Okay, fair enough. I'll get it.
Something you'd buy in a bakery but not bread in 3, 2, 1.
Donut.
You just went, chew, yeah, and you went donut.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, mate.
What were you going to say?
I didn't know. I had a blank.
Achoo, is that a snot? No, is that a snot block?
I was going to say
a vanilla slice. Is that what you say? Achoo.
I was going to say cupcake. Okay. I'm eating a cupcake.
He's literally chomping on one now.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, this is going exactly as I expected.
Oh, my goodness.
In 3, 2, 1.
No, wait. Tell us, give us the category.
I'm not used to hosting.
Category.
A brand of instant coffee in 3, 2, 1.
Nescafe.
Yeah, bang. Yeah, well done.
Well there done. That was not. Yeah. Give him five.
Don't let him hang it.
Yeah,
that's right, yeah.
Okay.
Well,
a school subject in 3, 2, 1.
Maths.
Bang, oh, wow.
Bang.
And all of a sudden.
I was thinking English. Yeah, yeah. And then I just saw where he was looking. Yeah. I just knew what he was
all
doing.
All of a sudden, you're twins.
We are.
And your mother's
still your part. This is for three, isn't it?
This is for the world record.
Yeah. Okay. Equal.
Equal.
Yeah, anyway, it's still big.
I know, bad start.
He's still up there as a world record holder.
Okay, here we go.
You were literally in the doghouse. Now you're in the penthouse.
Great comeback.
Something you'd find in a laundry in 3, 2, 1.
Washing powder.
Oh! I reckon clothes is the answer there. They're both good answers.
I know why you're thinking laundry powder.
That is two strong hearts. 2 out of 5.
Not bad.
Not too bad. Up next, Aussie vice captain in the cricket, Rachel Haynes. She joins us.
The Rush Hour on Triple M.
I'm talking to Rachel Haynes. Cricket Australia this morning announced a 15-player women's squad heading to the United Kingdom in July for the T20 International Tri-Series in Northern Ireland and Birmingham Commonwealth Games. And Rachel Haynes is on the line to talk about that now. Hi, Rach. How are you?
Hey, Gus. Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Obviously, you knew your name was going to be read out, but still, it's nice to have another shot at playing for Australia after how much success you had only a couple of months ago.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, a pretty unique tour for us as well. Not only shooting across the island and having the opportunity to play there, but to be the first team to play in a Commonwealth Games as a women's team, we're pretty excited about.
Of course, everyone will look at you guys and say you won the World Cup again. You're obviously the favourites. What's that like for this group now, knowing that you go into tournaments, knowing you're the ones that they want to knock off?
Yeah, look, I think it's something, as you said, we've probably grown a little bit accustomed to, and I don't say that from a point of arrogance or anything, but there's always a lot of expectation around our team and our performance and those sorts of things. But I think we've shown that, we can cope with that sort of pressure, and the Comm Games are certainly going to be unique. It's a little bit of a different setup to perhaps a World Cup where you play, for example, a West Indies. They actually did a qualifying themselves, and we're playing Barbados, which is one of the islands there. Mm. So it's going to be a little bit unique, but we're looking forward to it.
And just going into that sort of athlete village, I suppose, is exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, to have an opportunity to immerse yourself in the village and be surrounded by all kinds of different athletes and to be able to get a sense of their experience and perhaps how they prepare to perform on the big stage. It's going to be really unique, but we're looking forward to it.
I know how professional you guys, how hard you work, but at some stage, I suppose, just being in that village situation and knowing that you've got your games up, but also knowing that other sports are available for you to go and watch and support and so forth, trying to get that balance right of enjoying the moment of the Commonwealth Games, but keeping your eye on the gold medal.
Yeah, that's right. We would love to get around to different sports and show our support. We're not quite sure what it looks like in terms of whether there's going to be restrictions around those things or anything like that at the moment. But that's definitely one of the, I guess, benefits of being at an event like the Commonwealth Games and particularly representing Australia. There's just so many other sports there and a real opportunity to get behind each other.
You talked about the last couple of years there. I mean, COVID obviously was difficult. You guys had to play in a very different way, in bubbles and with masks and not as many fans as you would like. Hopefully, like you say, hopefully that the Pommies will allow us to have full crowds and you guys can do what you do in front of full houses.
Yeah, it's certainly looking that way. So, it would be amazing to have a full house at our games and, obviously the crowd over in England from a cricket point of view as well, they're generally really, really supportive of the game and have been big supporters of the women's game over there as well. So, yeah, we're anticipating there definitely will be crowds allowed and those sorts of things. It'd be nice to be back inside Pac Stadium.
Now, Rach, can I ask you about the World Cup? Because, you know, you guys undefeated. Everyone was saying that you were the team to beat. But England, who you ended up beating, they looked out of it a couple of weeks out. Then a few things went their way. They got on a bit of a run. And, you know, with an English wife like myself, I'm sitting there going, no, she's not going to, please no. You know, I wanted them out early doors because I just wanted to have that bit of fun at home. But did you think that they were, in the end, after such a poor start, that they could come and actually nick it?
Yeah, look, they're a really strong side, and you know, we always know we're going to be up for a fight against them. And Nat Siver, who's probably one of the best all-rounders in the world, she scored 100 in both games that we played against them, and probably just, you know, lacked someone to go with her in the final. Otherwise, it would have got very, very close and been very dangerous. And the funny thing was, as players out on the ground that day, we actually never felt good about that fielding innings the whole time, because you just thought it so... you know, engrossed in the contest and what may or may not happen and those sorts of things. So it sort of felt hard to enjoy at the time as a player too. And once you get that final wicket, obviously there's that huge sense of joy and excitement and a bit of relief in there as well. But yeah, they're very dangerous. And I think they'll be very dangerous at home for the Comm Games too. They love playing at home, and we've seen them win tournaments on the big stage doing that too.
Do you feel any type of pressure around being the side that is loved so much by Australian sport, whether it's the Matildas or you guys? You seem to be switching between first or second most loved, supported, cared for side in all sports, men and women. Do you guys feel that? Do you feel a responsibility to make sure that you hold up that your end of the bargain in terms of on and off the field? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think that there always comes a lot of expectation around representing your national side. And, you know, over the years, as our game has grown and evolved, we've felt that real sense of support from the community. But you're right, what comes with that is expectation as well. And, yeah, it's not lost on the playing group how important it is to obviously uphold good high standards, but also enjoy the game. It's pretty special.
Congratulations on all your success so far, Rach, and for the team, best of luck with everything you're going to do over the next couple of tours, and good luck getting the gold.
Thanks very much, Gus. Thanks for having me on.
What about this one, boys? St. Cloud State student awarded $111 million in botched surgery case. He's got permanent and disabling damage to his left leg. He was playing six-a-side indoor soccer, got pulled down from behind, went to St. Cloud Hospital with a bit of a dodgy leg, and in the end, they botched it so much over 20 surgeries over a long period of time. In the end, they're going to give him $251 million, which breaks down to payments for past and future pain, emotional distress, and medical expenses.
You hear those botched surgeries where they leave like a scalpel or scissors inside them. It's pretty horrific.
It actually happens more than you think, I reckon. I've got a mate of mine up at the sand at the moment getting his hernia put back in. I'm sure he'd be sweet, but we discussed about it on the weekend that, like, the surgery won't be okay, but I hope that you come out of it all right. It's something definitely that is out there now. Give us a call, 133353. Give us your when did it go wrong story, that botched surgery story, because surgery is on the rise at the moment for things that you wouldn't normally expect.
Mate, the Brazilian butt lift. They're after Dell like cabooses.
Oh, mate.
And, how much and it cost 61,000 people had buttock augmentations. Like, and apparently it's just the healing is no joke. Like, it's a really tough surgery to come back from.
So where does the butt come from?
In which fat is liposuctioned from the abdomen or lower back or other fleshy parts and used to enlarge and shape the buttocks.
You don't need that.
I definitely don't need it.
You do not need that, Dale. But I mean, like, that botched surgery, it's a real concern.
It certainly is. Give us a call, 133353. When did the surgery go wrong? G'day, Danny and Cessnock, the beautiful Cessnock. How are you, brother?
Good, thanks, guys. Love the show, by the way.
Cheers, Danny.
What happened, mate?
Mate, I had bilateral inguinal hernias, which is a hernia either side of my groin.
Ooh. Yeah, okay.
And the surgeon decided he was going to do a mesh repair. So he's put hernia mesh in both sides. Mm-hmm. But when he's put it in the left-hand side, he pulled all the nerves that go into my left leg and into my man bits.
Okay.
So now I have to walk with a walking stick.
Oh, no.
I have constant pain in my left leg. and my man bits don't work.
Oh, mate.
So you've lost all Danny. Feeling down downstairs.
It ended a 23-year marriage.
Oh, Danny.
I feel sorry for you, Danny. That's terrible, mate.
Hey, mate, I hope you can feel the love for you, Danny. We're putting our big arms around you, mate. We'll give you a call after the show too, Danny. Make sure you're all right. Thank you, mate, for sharing that. What about Mick up there in Lake Macquarie? G'day, Mick.
Yeah, g'day. How are you?
Yeah, we're good, mate.
That's great. My story's a little bit... Well, a bit different. It's actually a good mate of mine. When he was six, he had to get a camera put in his bonham, and he had some complaint. Anyway, the next day they rang his mum and they said, "Look, we've lost this very expensive lens. We think it's still in there." So for 3 days, he had to poop in a bag, and his mum had to make her way into the hospital. They had to sift through it, and after about 3 days, she said, "You can buy yourselves another lens."
Exactly.
He lost the camera up his butt.
Well,
just the lens.
Yeah. I mean, the camera, they might have seen it, the camera, but it was just a little lens. Wow. Thanks a lot, Mick. We appreciate that. Gee, that went in different ways than we expected those calls. Let's start the ball rolling. Del, Tigers versus Bulldogs at Leichhardt Oval. You're about to call it. What do you reckon?
Yeah, look, I think this is one for the Tigers now. Like, the Bulldogs are going to be pumped up. Obviously, Mick Potter's taking over there. It's funny, when a new coach takes over, or, you know, there's a replacement, they win invariably. But the Tigers...
New colours.
Pardon?
Naden in new colours.
Yeah, Naden in new colours. But, like, this Tigers, they've got to win this one. They've got to win this game. Look, it could go either way here. I know, even the conditions tonight...
Slightly wet.
Wet conditions. But I'm going the Tigers here.
You're going the Tigers.
Eels versus Sea Eagles at Combank Stadium, 7:55 game, mate. Where do you see that?
Yeah, I'm going the Eels here. I think the Eels have got to bounce back after last week. They're a bit up and down at the moment. The Seagulls, Tommy Turbo is obviously playing. I wouldn't be playing him. He reckons his cork's all right. So, you know, you've got to trust Tommy. Sometimes you've got to do the right thing by the players in general and just say, mate, look, just have a week off.
How hard is it to say that to your gun player, though?
Yeah, I know, I agree. And that's the great players, they want to play, you know. They know they're not going as well as they'd like to at the moment. But this is going to be a tough one. The Seagulls, if they bring their A game, you know, they could shake the Eels up a little bit here, but the Eels need to get back in the winners.
Gutherson's 150th as well.
Yeah, mate, Gutherson, mate, I just love the way that he plays, and obviously he's very, very well respected in and around the game. So Junior Paul on him are co-captains, and Gutho, good luck, mate. I want to see the Guth Arena tonight.
Yeah, he's a class player and a good bloke. What about Saturday now, the Dragons versus the Warriors?
Well, the Warriors, obviously, Matt Lodge has obviously just left there. So the Dragons, too, after last week, that Titans, that Golden Point game, mate, that's one that they should have won. You know, when you look at the end of the season, they're games that they dropped that they should have won. The Warriors, I can't get a gauge on the Warriors at the moment. You can't trust them.
Untrustworthy.
They are untrustworthy. And I hate to be a Warriors fan. I know they've done a good job the last couple of years. I'm going the Dragons here, and I think they're also there's a mark of respect for Johnny Raper, I think. So,
okay, and yeah. Lodge has walked out of the Warriors this afternoon.
Yeah, he has. Obviously, there's been a few problems there. I'm not sure whether he's got other plans to go somewhere else, but, well, mate, to walk out on the Warriors at this point in time, mate, it's a bit tough.
Yeah, okay, what about the Cowboys in the Storm?
Match of the round
up there in North Queensland. Look, the Cowboys are playing good football here. I said it before, if the Cowboys want some respect in the game, you've got to beat Penrith or the Storm. This is a good one. This is on a knife's edge here. I'm still going the Storm, but I mean, Storm don't usually lose two games in a row. Mm. They'd be hurting after last week. They got embarrassed up there at Suncorp Stadium by Penrith.
A couple of injuries, those Storms, aren't they?
Yeah, they have got a couple of injuries, but usually, you know, they haven't got the depth they had the last couple of years. But I'm looking forward to seeing how they bounce back here. Obviously on the back of Cam Munster. But the Cowboys are playing great football, mate. They're young blokes.
A lot of people tipping the Cowboys to beat the Storm. I'm not. Yeah, you're not. I saw the 8th on another channel did that. What about Roosters and Panthers to finish off Super Saturday?
Oh, this will be a cracking game at the SCG. Look, I'm going to go to the Panthers here. I just think the Panthers are playing too well at the moment. I know they had that hiccup in Darwin. The Roosters are playing some good football now. Their young players are starting to step up now. Obviously, Suwali. That was an unbelievable leap last week. Dude, how good was that? Is that AFL techie?
I loved it. I loved it. He had the sit, but he just got it executed. It was beautiful. Yeah.
Mm. And Sam Walker too. Like, you know, he's playing some good football now. It's funny how, like, we had a little bit of pressure on this young kid. I know Gordon Tellis come and stuck up for him. And I said the same thing, mate. He's a 19-year-old kid playing one of the toughest sports in the game in that position. He's going to get targeted, but Roosters are playing some good football. No Victor Radley for 6 to 8 weeks. Yeah. But, mate, Panthers, but I reckon this will be tighter than people think.
Okay.
Sunday at Apex Oval in Dubbo, Rabbitohs versus Raiders, sorry. And there's question marks over both these sides.
Yeah, there is. But, like, I think for the Raiders, you know, they have 8 players with the flu yesterday. Obviously, we know the flu can be a tough thing. Jude had it a couple of weeks ago, and I thought he was going to die.
Man flu is a terrible thing.
Told you, oh, well, man flu is a whole different thing.
Yeah, I know. But I'm going the Rabbitohs here. The people of Dubbo, you know, they'll turn out in droves. They love their football. Hopefully, a few of the boys pull through a bit, and Raiders get a strong side there. But, yeah, Rabbitohs for me.
And lastly, Titans versus Sharks, and the Sharks have slipped to 6-4 and sitting at sixth.
Yeah, man, they were running along nice and smooth there, and I'm still saying they're a top four side, but they're starting to learn a bit about themselves now. The Titans, their first win after about 5 games last week. They needed that game last week because there were some games there that there's an opportunity to win, and they couldn't put the sword to it. But Sharks for me.
Okie dokie. Thanks, mate. Don't miss a minute of footy action and get 30% off your first 4 orders with the NRL's exclusive delivery partner. They are DoorDash.
Up next, time to test Gus's sport knowledge with the all-rounder sports quiz.
I'm up
quiz.
For it today. I'm pumped today.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour. Whether you're on the train, in the car, or on the buses, it's Gus's Big Sports Quiz. Download the DoorDash app now for 30% off your first 4 orders. Minimum order value $20. New DoorDash customers only.
Yeah, and as we finish up the first hour of the Rush Hour, big second hour coming up. Dell's NRL preview, Two Strong Hearts, and Ryan Girdler joins us. Henry from the Central Coast is up against me today. G'day, Hen. How are you, mate?
Yeah, very good, Gussie. How are you, mate?
Mate, I'm good, mate. Let's hope. Well, I hope I give you a battle, but I hope you go away with the Dash Door
Enough
voucher.
Enough of the pleasantries, fellas. Come on.
Oh, okay, mate.
Come on.
Can I ask
Henry,
this question?
We want you to step it up here.
Why are you calling him Hen? His name's Henry, mate. Yeah. You don't even know him.
Hen. Every person Hen. I know called Henry, I call Hen. Hen, do you get called Hen all the time, Hen?
Absolutely never.
Thank you, Gus.
All right. Okay, Henry. Mate, it is one for one. You'd also have your phone a friend in Wendell Saylor who has the answers. So please leverage it. You've only got one of those. Okay, Gus, absolutely. First and foremost.
Yes.
What was the score in last night's NRL game between the Knights and the Broncos?
36-12 to the Broncos.
That's my Broncos.
The rampaging Broncos.
That's my Broncos.
They're my Broncos.
All right, Henry. Who is the interim coach of the Bulldogs?
That'll be one Mick Potter.
Bang, you're on the board, one all. Gus, there are 4 teams left in the NBA playoffs. Name 2 of them.
Golden State and Miami.
Oh, well done.
Bang. And the rest are Boston Celtics and Dallas Mavericks.
No one asked that.
Okay, Henry.
You're getting sledged by Dell now.
Just copping it. Copping it from the hired help. Okay, here we go. Henry. Pop star Cody Simpson has qualified for the Australian swimming team in which event? You do have Dell if you need.
Butterfly?
Yes, but what length? What distance?
Jeez.
That's me.
You've got Dell if you need.
No, I'm gonna have a punt. I'm going to say the 100.
But... Yeah! Bang, you're on. I love someone who backs themselves.
Well done, Henry.
My sort of man.
I'm saving you, Dell. I'm saving you.
I'm saving him up. All right. Gus, he needs this.
I do.
Gus,
up against
dual
10.
Premiership winners Millie Boyle and Tamika Upton have stunned the NRLW community by leaving the Brisbane Broncos for which team?
Easy.
That is Hen, you're right. It's Newcastle.
It's not Hen. It's Hen.
Henry, mate.
Henry, mate. Okay.
Nice one, Hang.
All right, here we
go. That's what my
Henry,
mum calls me.
Where will the first State of Origin game be held this year?
Oh, jeez.
You've got Dell only for this last one if you need.
Yeah, look, I need a call on a State of Origin legend. Help me out, Dell.
Oh, thank you, mate. I'll just try and find
one,
mate.
Sorry, Brad Fittler works somewhere else. Yeah.
Mate, it's
2.5 premierships.
Oh, yeah. Well, boys, I'll tell you where. It's in Sydney, mate.
Okay, perfect. We are going to the tiebreaker. Your name is your answer.
Okay,
Henry.
I'm going to give Hen a little bit of a...
Your buzzer, sorry, not answer.
Yeah, I'm just going to go a bit of a hesitation, give him a chance.
Oh,
I don't need a DoorDash thing. I want Hen to win it.
Don't. It's Henry.
No favours, Gus.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
No favors.
You're on.
Here it is. In the NFL, how many points do you get for a touchdown?
Gus.
Hen.
Oh,
I think Hen got that.
Oh, hang on.
I think Hen got that.
Dell?
I think Hen. I've just looked back. Yep.
Henry. Okay. Oh,
Henry,
how many points for a touchdown?
Six.
Bang, you have got the $100 DoorDash voucher. Don't miss a minute of the footy action and get 30% off your first four orders with the NRL's exclusive delivery partner, DoorDash.
Great Good on you, Henry. Well done, mate.
Thanks, guys. Love your work.
Boys, I just want to take you down memory lane and some of our listeners as well. There was a show back in the day where you just had to watch it every afternoon. It was from a family from Milwaukee, family and friends, 50s and 60s. In Milwaukee, 255 30-minute episodes. Started in 1974. It was Happy Days, of course.
Oh, yeah.
One, two, three, four, Happy Days.
The Fonz,
right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, there was a bloke called Ralph Mouth, which is in the gang, right? Which was sort of basically...
I preferred Potsy, to be honest. But...
Potsy, exactly. It was Potsy and Ralph Mouth. Well, do you know what Ralph Mouth's doing now?
No.
Well, neither did I until yesterday, and I came across him on Spotify. Have a listen.
Fall in love.
Wow.
Why shouldn't we?
Just don't talk over him.
Our hearts are made of it. Let's take a chance. Why be afraid of it?
That is Ralph Mouth.
That's not Ralph Mouth.
He's a crooner.
That he's a.
Is he singing on the Love Boat? What is he on?
Who are you?
Is he?
He's a big band. Yeah. He's a big band singer. He sings with the big band behind him doing his stuff.
Is Isaac there and Captain Swerving?
How old is Ralph Mouth now?
I don't know. Actually, I got all the information except his age, but he's got to be what? 70?
He's got a good voice. He's got a good voice.
Actually, play a little bit more.
To be or not to be, let our hearts...
I can see you doing that sort of stuff. You want to be a big band singer, don't you? You think you're a triple threat?
I'm more than a triple threat.
No, you're not.
You don't think I am?
You're a double threat, that's it.
What's the double?
I don't know, but you're a double threat.
And we're trying to get ourselves a conversation now with Ryan Girdle, and he's just jumped on the line, big fella. Thanks so much for joining us, Girds. Mate, obviously a huge weekend of footy. It's round 11 already, and the Broncos, or as Dells likes to say, Dells Broncos, are starting to look all right.
Yeah. Oh, good last night again, weren't they, Gussie? I mean, you know, they've been one of the surprise packets of the season so far. And I think just what impressed me last night was the fact that, you know, it was a disruptive preparation with Adam Reynolds, one of their marquee players, pulling out a couple of hours before the game. So that would have unsettled the troops just a little bit. But they found a way. Didn't start great, but, you know, on the back of their defence, was able to hold Newcastle out, who were coming off a pretty good win and were up and about for the contest. And then... yeah, just the resilience in their defence at the back end of that first half, and then the ability to go on and then score points and have faith in the fact that they could play for 80 minutes. And some of these big outside backs that they've got coming through at the moment must be impressing the big fella as well. But, they're a good side to watch at the moment. They're up there in the forward doing nicely.
Mate, your thoughts on Milford, his return after about 9 months?
Well, I think it was a little bit like what we expected, Del, wasn't it? With it was a big ask to come in against his former club and with not a lot of footy under his belt. And I thought he had some nice moments early on when, you know, we saw Ponga and Frizzell and co sort of going forward and laying a bit of a platform for him. But as soon as the Broncos sort of took over, it was always going to be hard for him to play off the back foot with not a lot of game time under his belt.
Good, Jude. I just want to ask you about the Panthers. Obviously, they're sitting 9-1. You know, sitting on top of the ladder. They've been in good form. How do you rate this season thus far?
Yeah, well, I mean, what's impressed me most, Jude, was the fact that a lot of these guys, they ticked a lot of personal boxes last year with, you know, winning a grand final and playing representative football and all the accolades that came with it. And I just thought that they mightn't be as hungry this year as they are and what they've shown. And I think the thing that's impressed me most is these guys' ability as young men to get up again this year. And you know, I remember, I think it was young Luai at the start of the year said, oh, yeah, you know, I know as premiers you are the hunted, but, you know, we want to be the hunters this year. We're going to go after size. And I thought that was a big statement. But they've been able to do it, Jude, haven't they? Yeah. I mean, they've been impressive. I don't think they're playing at their best every week. I think... you know, which you can't do for the 26 rounds, but they're finding ways just to win every week, and they were great last week, and it's another big challenge for them tomorrow night.
What about North Queensland, mate? No one had them up there in the top four. They had more likely in the bottom four. Got about a minute left, yeah. Girds. What are your thoughts on them? Are they actually the real deal?
Well, I think we find out tomorrow night, don't we, Gussie? You know, it's a good time to come up against the Storm. It's up there at their home turf, so they'll have a big crowd. And the Storm have had a bit of a rough campaign over the last couple of weeks, and they're missing some key personnel again. I don't think Hughes will play. So it's a great time to meet the Storm, and I think we find out, you know, what they're actually made of, and they're going to be tested. And they need a couple of big scouts, don't they? They're in the top four now, but if you look at their last few weeks, the Tigers, the Knights, you know, they got the Eels, and that was dominant in that performance. But now, you know, they're going to get the best out of sides who they're coming up against, and that'll start tomorrow night. And I think we get a much better indication of, you know, what their likelihood is of making a contribution at finals time tomorrow.
Just your eyes forward towards Origin. I mean, how are you looking at this Maroon side? They're pulling together a pretty good squad, aren't they? And obviously New South Wales have got a couple of injuries.
Really strong, Bolts. I think that it's going to be a cracking series, and you're right. And not just injuries, New South Wales. They've got some guys that, you know, Freddie's probably relied on the last couple of years that mightn't be in form, and he's going to have to make some tough calls. So, but an exciting Queensland side, and that's spine. I mean, it's just going to be brilliant. And some of these outside backs and guys like Corey Oates and the like now coming in and making it tough on Billy to pick who he's going to play on sort of in those positions where in the past they've really scrambled to try and find guys that are informed to put out there. So they're in good shape, mate. It's going to be one hell of a series.
Oh, Gerd, you're such a good man. Have a fantastic call, mate. Look after us tonight as we're driving home.
Love you,
Gerd. You take care, mate. Love you, brother.
Up next, it's simply the best.
And that's what you are, Del.
Yeah.
Gus, Jude and Wendell, this is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell on this Friday afternoon. Time now for this.
The Rush Hours. Simply the best.
Yeah, and this is where we wind up the show with our favourite bits from the show. And, of course, it's always our listeners. This time it was the all-rounder sports quiz. I was up against Hen.
And this Henry.
Was, sorry.
Henry.
Henry. This was a little bit of banter when we were in the quiz together.
We want you to step it up here.
Why are you calling him Hen? His name's Henry, mate.
Yeah.
You don't even know him.
Hen.
Every person I know called Henry, I call Hen. Hen, do you get called Hen all the time, Hen?
Absolutely never.
Okay, so he owned me at that stage.
Mate,
I get that. I understand
Tim Henman.
It. He was very, very strong. But what about this at the end? And I've got to have a look at the bunker. And there's only one man in the bunker, and that is you, Wendell Saylor.
Yeah.
It got to the tiebreaker. Yeah. You, the answer has got to come after you have your buzzer, which is your name, right?
Yeah.
Tell me that I didn't get in before Henry.
Is the bunker as dodgy as Dally's?
Oh, dodgy as. Have a listen.
How many points do you get for a touchdown?
Gus.
10.
Oh,
I think Hen got that.
Oh. Hang on.
Well, you know what? I had a micro sleep when you obviously said it. So sorry, I didn't get you. All I heard was Henry.
That's like the obstruction rule last night.
Oh,
embarrassing.
And Gagai scored as well. Fair dinkum. Okay, see you later, boys. Have a good call, Del.
Yep, love you guys.
Have
Enjoy
a great
the weekend, guys.
Go to Swannies.
Yeah.
Go whoever you're supporting. Take care. Big election day as well, so good luck
sure
to Albo and good luck to ScoMo as well and everyone else in between. And we'll see you on Monday at 4 o'clock.